Blog Talk Radio.
Good money.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez.
What up, yo?
Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up on a 2-hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4th of 26 saw the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys diversified and educated.
Sports fans and beautiful ladies, what up? The boys are back, which can only mean one thing. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports from the new WRS Podcast Network. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined at the round table, as always, by the homies, Jimmy the Blueprint Williams and B. Austin, the HBC. The NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals both ended in five. Boo to that. The World Cup is heating up. The government is making power moves in sports again, and much more. So make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports so you can join in the conversations there. You can call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number, as usual, is 323-410-0012. Quick PSA before we get started. During the week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, make sure you guys visit WRSPN.com or our main site, WarRoomSports.com, and listen to some of the best talk radio the internet has to offer. Sports, lifestyle, culture, entertainment, a whole lot more. The War Room Sports Podcast Network has it all. You can hear shows such as ours. You can hear the Broad Street Line with Roy and Chris. You can hear Sports Trap Radio with Brandon Pemberton and Anthony Green. The Gaffer and Hooligan Soccer Podcast with Kamal Hilton. You definitely want to tune into that because the World Cup is going on. And if you're a soccer head or a football head, then, you know, the mini shows that he's doing, the blogs that he's writing, you want to get down with that work. So make sure you get over to the network and check everybody out. In addition, you can still catch us in syndication on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. That's P-H-A-T-Z radio.com. What's good, fellas?
Chilling.
Yo.
What I want to know is why Ghana's not ashamed of themselves for letting the USA beat them like that on them lucky goals.
Well, you know, my football friends told me that it wasn't luck, but we'll talk about that for like 30 seconds in a minute, so, because we don't have any special guests on, so, you know, it's not that much that we can talk about. Well, I'm speaking for myself, because I'm still learning. I do think the World Cup is very excited, and I kind of wish that we would have taken that trip to Brazil. I mean, I always wish we'd take a trip to Brazil, but, you know, for the World Cup, for the soccer.
I don't want to die.
Tell him again, B. Austin. He ain't hear you.
Yeah,
be over there trying to put him in the Boston Crab over there and get myself in trouble.
Yo, it don't feel the same with a pro foot, so never mind.
Yo!
I don't know if I say this. He acts so holy. I mean, he made love to every girl in every city in America. And he had,
and Brazil, but he was talking about B. Austin and his Brazil trip. If it was to happen, that's what we would be saying afterwards. He made love to every girl in every city in Brazil. All right, man. Before we start wilding out, let's tell everybody what happened this week. Why they were on the grind. I'll do that. While y'all were on the grind, as usual, it's brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket for when American football starts back up, go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo, and order yourself a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, then you got to have DirecTV. All right, some news close to home, fellas. Philly, Marvin Harrison. Shots were fired at this man's truck, and he's been getting a lot of negative attention for it because we know, or at least we think we know, how Marvin Harrison gets down. But he's basically you know, saying, and the guy is backing his story up, that he saved this guy's life. You know, this guy was running from someone, and Marvin Harrison was driving his pickup truck. The guy was getting shot at, so Marvin let the dude jump into his pickup truck bed, and he sped off with the dude with shots being fired at his pickup truck. Do y'all believe Marvin, or does he need more people?
GTFOH. The funny thing is, my limited knowledge and exposure to Marvin Harrison of Roman Catholic fame and lore is that he was an athletic square, an L7, a noodle, a Joe, a JoJo, just in the books type of dude, except for running rock. You wait most of your life until you're in your 40s and retired from the game of foosball to turn into a North Philly gang banger. I don't understand, Mark.
All right, now,
you're pulling guns, you're pulling straps. Go ahead.
I have a completely different perspective. I know the boy, close with a lot of people in his family. In fact, my college roommate is his little cousin, and also his brother, baby brother, was like next door to me. We all went to the same college, so I actually hung out with him several times. And let's just put it this way. What you just described as his image was his image, but was that factual? He's from a certain environment. Let's just put it that way. And that was the image that was supposedly put out there. This story, though, listen, man, like, he's the homie and all that, but in terms of this story, though.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
And that's my man, but, yo, this don't make sense, B. Like, come on, man. Like, yo, it's one of them things that, like, even if it is true, like, no, man, no, this don't happen. This is strictly from TV. Like, what is this? First of all,
let me tell you,
we said that
about the homie Aaron Hernandez, but it happened.
But this is true. But here's the first thing I want to say to all these athletes, man. Anytime I read a story about an athlete, right? Well, first off, if the link comes from TMZ, I already know what it is. Second thing is, it says at 3 such and such a.m., you already know it's trouble. Yo, nothing good happens that late. Like, why are you out at that? That's my question. What are you doing?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
That's what I said. It was,
unless
it was
you're trying to get some stank on your hang low, like, what are you doing out?
It was 3:20 a.m. Saturday morning. The dude, Brown, who is a personal trainer, said two masked men dressed in black entered his apartment. He was barefooting in his drawers. He ran out the front door looking for help. The only vehicle he saw was Marvin Harrison's white Ford F-350 pickup, and he was trying to get his attention. Marv said, I don't know what the hell was going on. I didn't know why this guy was running alongside my car. He let the dude jump into the back, and he also said that he said, I didn't do anything but drive my car, pick up a guy, and call 911. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time for this person. The unfortunate part is things are coming out negative. I had nothing, 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 nothing to do with it. I was just driving, minding my own business. And as Jimmy added, at 3:30 in the morning.
yo, my thing is, fam,
I want to believe him on this one,
athlete,
but it does sound
time,
like it's so far-fetched. Like, what's going on? Why are you out at that time? I mean, you know, people are out at that
good
time. But you're Marvin Harrison.
Come on, man. Like,
so, Marvin Harrison
I used to be out at that time, but I was also, like, 21 years old, B. Like, I haven't been out at that time in so long. First of all, I'm old as hell now anyway. Like, yo, I just don't have the energy to be out at that time. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yo,
nothing good happens, B.
I'll be trying to be out there late and can't.
Dog, who you telling? I can't hang no more, man. Like, yo, about 10 o'clock, it's time for me to retire, man. Damn.
Right, well,
anyway,
I don't think this is JoJo worthy because, you know, we'll find out, and maybe if we find out that he was lying later on, then he'll definitely get a nomination. But this is just puzzling. I mean, unless you just want to give him a JoJo for being 40 years old and out at 3:20 in the morning for no reason.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, man. But at the end of the day, man, like, you know, we'll see if anything more comes of this, man. But, you know, he's a very, like, conservative dude, like, to stay out of the media. And, you know, he's been in the media twice, like, since his plan. He needs something to do with his time, man.
All right, well, I don't know if y'all remember Robert Jones. He was a linebacker, first-round pick in the 1992 draft for the Dallas Cowboys. He was on three of theirs. He was on those three Super Bowl teams in the 90s. According to police documents, a 47-year-old man named Theodore, no last name, his name just Theodore, he told police Robert Jones approached him and tried to hire him to kill his agent. The guy, Robert Jones, of course, saying he is so far from the truth. He said he has nothing to do with this. My question is, he's 47 years old and been retired for a long time, and I'm pretty sure when you say Robert Jones, Dallas Cowboys, not a lot of people even remember who the dude was. So why does he still have an agent? And why do they have dealings to the point where he might want his agent knocked off? Like, what's going
on
with that?
Shout out to Susio, yo.
Here's my thing with this whole story. First off, you can never trust a man that goes by the name Theodore. Like, even if your name is Theodore, you're going to go by Ted or something else. Like, you just don't go by Theodore. I think the last person to actually go by the name Theodore was our late president. Like, I don't know any more Theodores. Like, think about
later
it.
Later in the story, they called him Theo. They hit him with the Huck. They called him Theo.
Yeah, you know I mean, like, yo, Theo Ratliff's name may have been Theo. Like, can you think of, like, sports, entertainment, culture? Anybody named Theodore?
Nah.
Like B. Austin said, Theodore Unit, and that's a terrible name.
Yeah, and another part of the story is that the guy Theo told the cops. The reason he told the cops is because allegedly when Robert Jones approached him to kill his agent for him, he said no, so then Robert Jones threatened him, saying that he's a gangster and he can make Theodore. He said he's a gangster and he can make Theodore disappear. This sounds like Theo may be lying. Like, I don't know what Theo's beef is with Robert Jones.
Theo made something up, yo. Robert Jones hit – they were in high school together because they're both 47. Robert Jones was getting yams that Theo, my man Theo, wanted, and Theo waited 27 years to get back. So this is the get back. Like, it's
why now, though? Why now when no one cares? Like, this is non-story. Like, you know, obviously it's a...
Getting why he winning Super Bowls.
Yeah, getting then. Like, why get him now? Like, and, yo, maybe
Robert
you should
Jones
disappear if you go
jail
by the name
for the rest
Theodore,
of his life. I don't think anyone would notice.
Yo, not at all. This is definitely over some yams. It's a fight over a woman. It's very childish, man. Like, yo, Theo, go away, Theo. I think, if anything, not Robert, but Theo should get a JoJo Award, man. Like, we have to give him a JoJo Award for, like, starting this nonsense. And also,
snitching.
By going by the name Theodore, yo.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
Yeah,
all right, this next story. Some more stuff out of the NFL. This is kind of crazy. There's been a grievance hearing in a New Orleans area hotel going on for the past couple days because Jimmy Graham, the New Orleans Saints are trying to give him the franchise tag. However, Jimmy Graham wants to get the franchise tag as a wide receiver, and of course, as a wide receiver, that's worth $5.3 million more than the franchise tag is worth for a tight end. His argument to that is that he plays a lot in the slot and he does no blocking. We all know he does no blocking. He didn't have to tell us that. But the Saints actually came out, you know, they're trying to give it to him as a tight end, of course, to save money. And one of the reasons that they alluded to when – you know, to prove their case was the fact that Jimmy Graham lists himself as a tight end on his Twitter bio. So is that fair or foul? Or, like, are the Saints fully within their rights to use that,
that is
their reason?
That is very, very fair, and it's exactly what I would do if I was in the Saints position because it's 2014. It's 2014. Everybody under the age of 42, yo, social media is game, y'all. Social media game, man. If you was born in 1970 or later, Twitter, yo, you got to watch yourself.
Yo, you definitely do, Dev. And this is like a bigger story. It's so many layers of this. Now, this looks like a simple story, but this brought about so many thoughts in my mind, maybe because I'm crazy. But also, it's like, yo, I'm just not from this generation, man. Like, but I accept that. Like, you know, I often joke about him being an old man, but I'm right there with him because, like, people live their lives online, man. I was talking to someone today about they were having a family argument and how it goes from real life to Facebook as opposed to vice versa.
Right.
So they'll have an argument, and it goes to Facebook, and you have different sides jumping in. So, like, social media is real life. I know dudes that used to hang in the street. Yo, now they hang on Facebook, and they still, like, it's the same behavior just online. Like, people literally found a way to live two lives. Now,
yo, they on the block. Yo, they on the block, but it's on Facebook. Like,
yo, it's a thread. Yo, all the same dudes being the same thread, having the same conversation they would have on the corner. Now they in a thread on Facebook. But and even beyond that, like taking it to sports, I was wondering how this was going to play out because I knew this was going to be a point of contention in terms of him getting money. And, you know, this is going to have an impact on the NFL because if you look at how offenses are played now, there's a lot of Jimmy Grahams in the NFL. On every team, damn near, you know, everybody stole the whole Tony Gonzalez thing. Go find a former basketball player and make him a tight end who can't block. And everybody has one. So, you know, I was wondering how this is going to play out. I guess it's going to have to take one of these tight ends to just get a blockbuster deal, so therefore they're getting paid as receivers without being called receivers. Because let's keep it real. He's listed as a tight end. He calls himself a tight end. He doesn't play tight end. Not the traditional way that we know tight end. Or, you know what I'm saying? But the position has changed. You know what I mean?
The NFL made three points in their argument.
Go ahead, bro.
I just wanted to give you this fact because it might tie into what you're saying. Jimmy Graham, they said, the NFL saying he lines up they said he meets in the tight end room, lines up where tight ends line up, and he lists himself as a tight end on Twitter. Other than that, let me give you his percentages of where he actually lined up and where he caught touchdowns from. As a tight end, you know, just on the end of the line, he took 33% of his snaps, had four touchdowns. In the slot, he took 45.3% of his snaps with eight receiving touchdowns. And lined out wide, he took 21.7% of his snaps and caught four touchdowns.
If you're another tight end in the league, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you go to your Twitter profile and put wide receiver for such and such? Like, if you're
They all probably did. I'm about to check everybody.
Julius
profile.
Thomas went and said, "I'm a wide receiver now." Like, it's just going to be interesting. It's going to take for one of them guys just to crack the bank and get a contract, and that'll be like the end of all this because then it won't matter what position you are. I mean, because I understand the NFL's logic, and that is when you do, especially when it gets into a legal matter. It's like, what do you put out there to the world? You know. I mean, I've seen people lose in child support court like that. Like, yo, that's not my kid. Well, you act like it's your kid. You call it your kid on Facebook, so guess
on
what?
On Facebook,
you get hit with child support. Yo, that's how the legal system works. You know what I mean? But I just think that, you know, it's two things in play here, man. Like, yo, the Internet is dangerous. The Internet is where people live now. People don't live their lives in the world. People don't live their lives in the world no more, man. They found a way to actually have a second life, man. They really did. So This isn't shocking to me, but I just want to see, like, long-term, are these guys going to start getting paid like wide receivers? Because, yo, Jimmy Graham is his number one option. That's who he goes to. It's to the point where he's
number everything.
Them, dude. Yo, exactly.
Even
number
more
one,
than
two, three. You know what I mean?
Be awesome. What are your thoughts after hearing, you know, those statistics? Like, does he have a case, or should you just say, man, we drafted you as a tight end. You're our tight end. Shut up and take this tight end money.
I see both sides of the argument. I really don't think, like, from a moral slash right or wrong position, either side is right or wrong. I think it's whoever can get the upper hand in court because from his side of the table, he can say, look at the number of snaps that I took, flexed out, lined up in the slot, in motion, et cetera. So you can say he can make the argument that he is truly a wide receiver, and I'm not mad at him making that argument. I'm more or less taking a crap on his generation for being so willing to snitch on themselves and put that he's a tight end on social media. But outside of that, like, I see his point.
I mean, but
I respect his point that he's trying to go get his money.
I don't think that's terrible,
the
fact that he put that on it, because that's what he is.
I do.
I'm saying I don't think it's terrible that he put that on the Twitter bio because that's what he is. So it might be a little something to that, like, yo, you're a tight end. This is just new football, and tight ends line up everywhere now. I don't know if you can just
football.
I don't know if you can break down where we line you up and try to justify, you know, getting paid like a different position because of it. Or maybe
this
is just something
football.
where receiving tight ends and wide receivers, maybe there shouldn't be that big of a gap in the way they are able to get paid. That doesn't mean you go out and pay every tight end like a wide receiver, because every tight end is not that good and doesn't catch a lot of passes. But so maybe it's, you know, all of this technical stuff and them worried about what actual position he plays, maybe just if you have a tight end who's your best receiver, then maybe you pay him a little differently. But this,
especially,
I mean, and maybe they will when he gets paid, but this whole argument is about the franchise tag. And there is a different franchise tag for receivers and tight ends. So
on the new football. But, yo, maybe we should just create a whole new position, because I'm tired of this
slot in.
Tight end anyway. Yeah, like something else, like, you know.
Tight end always been kind of suspect anyway.
It's a lot of boshy in language in the NFL. Wide receiver, tight end, yeah.
Just call him a receiving tackle. I don't know.
Yo, but he don't block at all. Yo, I've never even
offensive
seen him like, stay
catcher.
Back on a play to block. Like, it's not even a question of whether he's a receiver or not. Like, have you ever seen him, like, try to block? Can he block?
I don't know
if he can, because he's never tried.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Never
man. But we'll
to,
see what
so.
Happens. Yeah, we'll see what happens moving forward, because like you said, under new football, in your words, like, there's a lot of guys who kind of do the same thing, man. So I don't knock the Saints for doing what they got to do, but it is what it is, man.
Yeah,
I'm not
mad at either side. Like, I'm not mad. Like, they're trying to save $5 million and really protect the rest of the market, the marketplace. And then at the same time, Jimmy Graham is trying to go after as much money as he can get in a game he could lose. He could get injured next season and never play again. So I'm not mad at either at the greed.
Yeah, you know, he's probably getting all kinds of text messages from other tight ends in the league, like, yo, man, keep up the fight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're not going to be there with you. But until you get over that mountaintop, then we'll be
there. Yeah, he's fighting for all them new football players, man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, man.
All right, man. Well, B. Austin, you said you're not mad at that. Tell me if you're mad at the U. Somebody cue up that U sound like. Somebody, y'all tell me if y'all mad at the U for recruiting a 9-year-old girl to play basketball. Her name is Jaden Newman. She's 9 years old, but she's playing at the high school level on varsity, and she's averaging 14.8 points and 7.5 assists. Now, I know you guys have seen highlights on this girl, and she was just taking high school girls to school. But is 9-year-old a little too young for colleges to be sending recruiting letters? I mean, we've heard of this before, you know, scouts watching, you know, elementary school students. And it's usually on the boys' side of things. But have we ever heard this with girls' basketball? They sent her a full recruiting package from the University of Miami, 9 years old.
And let the exploitation continue. First thing I want to say is, young sis do have a handle, though. I can give her that.
Whoever's out of hand, I'm going to give them handles. Light them up, blow them out like candles.
Yeah, she definitely got handles. So I'll give her that. But, yo, for her to get a full recruiting package, I mean, let the exploitation continue. Like I told you guys before, in terms of NCAA. And, by the way, I'm writing an interesting piece that I'll drop tomorrow in reference to college sports. And, you know, so check that out, because I got a mean pen game on warmsports.com/blog. Shameless plug. But this doesn't shock me at all. I see a lot of time with younger athletes, but like you say, never with a female athlete. But it gets attention, it becomes news, and that's what they're all about, continuing to build their brand as a university and as a private entity that makes money off of sports that doesn't have to pay its labor. So, you know, doesn't shock me at all.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's an interesting story.
She's
going to make her more popular.
She's already completed her first recruiting trip to campus. if she's not.
Yeah, yo.
Where she might be the dorm.
My problem with it.
Come on, man.
Is,
she ain't even on her rag yet. Let me shut up.
Evil is less about the evil that we know, because we know what the NCAA is. We know what these colleges and universities are. We know what it's hidden for. My question is, as parents, why do you allow
there
this to
is.
Happen? Why do you not shield your child from the monster that they're going to run into at some point anyway, but allow them to run into it when they're emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically more developed? I understand that she is a prodigy and she has a gift. Let her enjoy that gift. It's no different than a child that's academically advanced. You know, and you see kids that are, you know, 9 years old or 10 years old going to complete college courses, and you're like, wow, how great is that? We celebrate it. It's wonderful. Then you sit back and you wonder, well, what type of child things do they do? Do they, you know, get a chance to sit down and watch cartoons? Do they go to story time at the library? Like, do they get to hang out with their friends and go outside and play in the dirt and exchange worms and chase lightning bugs? And, you know, because once you have a child doing advanced things like college trips, they're now at a truly advanced level. Now, of course, the other kids on that campus or young adults are going to treat them like the novelty they are, but there are things that they're now exposed to and around that they don't need to be around. So I'm more upset with the parents for not checking a lot of this and providing that young lady with a nurturing environment that still allows her to hoop, that still allows her to grow her game, but not expose her to the BS that the NCAA world is. Like, that's corny to me. That's corny.
No doubt. I mean, I was waiting for somebody to bring that up because this Bleacher Report article that I read on it, you know, they actually pointed that out, saying while some parents might be hesitant in allowing an organization to court their 9-year-old, the Newman family appears to be ready to dance. You know, they even had her on a Fox Sports show, The Crowd Goes Wild, back in January, you know, showcasing her dribbling and all that kind of stuff. So.
It's interesting, man. And by the way, Scott Kevin says in our chat room, he says maybe her parents speak Floridian. Yo, it's sad that when we think of anything, you know, immature, ratchet, whatever kind of word you want to use, we automatically just jump to Florida, man. Shout out to DJ Willie G, but, yo, Florida is like, you know, the poster child for ignorance. I don't know why, but that's what it seems like. But anyway.
Well, to the Newman parents.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
And it's interesting because, like, B. Austin, that's an amazing point you brought up about the parents and how they act. But this is part of the world we live in, which parents try to exploit their children just as much as the colleges do. I mean, look at say Beyonce. Beyonce didn't even graduate high school. Once her parents figured out that she could dance and sing, it was all about
that. When she talked.
Once they figured out she could be a shucker and a jiver, once they figured out she could shuck and jive real well, they was like, yo, let her shuck and jive for that dollar.
You better do something about her or I will. Yeah, she can't talk, even in that movie when she acted. Anyway, you know, she didn't even graduate high school. And you look at a lot of these other people, and so it was an interesting, you know, interesting concept to think about, right? I'm not calling her a child prodigy, but let's say you have a child prodigy. How do you raise a child prodigy? No one knows how to raise a child prodigy. Do you let them become a child, like B. Austin said, and watch cartoons and things like that, or do you let them share their gifts with the world? It's interesting, but
you,
sometimes these
you,
people
you
are child
find,
prodigies. They just have
talent.
A little bit of skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know what I
mean?
And then it becomes exploiting. Yeah, you definitely have to find a balance. Interesting. No one. Parents try their best, but at times you can tell when the parents are pretty much living vicariously through their kids, and it gets kind of out of control, and then you end up with you know, a Lenny Cook story. So, you know, shout out to Lenny Cook.
Oh man.
Shout out to Lenny.
My little guy has shown some aptitude with a basketball. He's only 6. But he beat his 11-year-old cousin shooting free throws recently, you know. And I'm definitely not in any way, shape, or form telling
you, got him an agent already?
You guys that he's a – I'm not saying that he's a – no, we haven't signed
gonna
an agent.
He's going to be a part of the Darko
talking
group.
To Scott Boras.
He's going to put some money
Boras,
on his agent head if he don't do right.
But I want to make sure I look at myself in the mirror And every day I make sure that I do not push him any farther than he wants to go with the game, especially at this age, just because he had a little jump shot. Like, I want it to be fun for him.
Respect. As it should, man, as it should, man. I'm telling you, like, a lot of times you'll see that these days, man, and it's sad, but it's a reality of, because I have a new generation now, B. Austin. You know, we have the X generation, the hip-hop generation, the Y generation. Right now we're living in the world star generation. And in the world star generation, man, it's something that you see more and more.
Shout out to Q for helping to be a purveyor of the downfall of society.
True that.
All right, well, Jimmy, let everybody know what happened this week. I'm sorry, let everybody know who's having a birthday this week.
Absolutely. For those who don't know, our birthday segment is brought to you by Dr. Monique Rowe of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Rowe of Alexandria Podiatry Associates, treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area and beyond. Visit www.alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. Again, that's 703-379-0700. And don't forget, tell them War Room Sports sent you, because that way you'll get the hookup. Let's go to birthdays. B. Austin's favorite running back, Rashard Mendenhump, turns 27.
The retired 27-year-old.
Retired 27-year-old running back.
Speaking of the rainbow and Michael Sam and Kerry, never mind. Go ahead.
Yo, Marvin Williams turns 28. He's not retired yet, though.
Failure.
Quentin, he should be retired. All right, Quentin Jammer turns 35.
Yo, can you have a better name as a cornerback?
No, you really can't.
Jammer.
Yo, he definitely really didn't live up. He definitely didn't live up to that name. He ain't bad.
He ain't jammed nobody at the line, but his name was Quentin.
He ain't jammed nobody. He used to get burnt.
The greatest German basketball player of all time. I don't know if there's any other German basketball players, but Dirk Nowitzki turns 36.
Yes, Das Negro Killer. Das Negro Killer.
Gentlemen, real quick question. Does Dirk Nowitzki have the best turnaround fadeaway jump shot in the history of the league?
No,
I was going to go ahead and say yeah, because I don't feel like thinking about four more people.
I know B. Austin going to say Jordan, but it is what it is. Anyway, Peter Warwick turns 37.
He's like Lenny Cook. In my eyes. He's like the football Lenny Cook, in my opinion. Yo, seriously, man, I used to call that boy ball bearings because I didn't think he had joints in his knees. I thought he had ball bearings the way he
used to
cut.
Yeah, he was dumb nice with it.
Yeah, got
Luke
to the
Garrett.
League and just dumb with
rest
it.
Rest in power. Rest in peace. Birthday shout out to one Lou Gehrig, who's born June 19th, 1903. And he left us. Well, he left them. Cause I'm anyway, on June 2nd, 1941. So rest in peace to Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, now he has a disease named after him.
And that's Gehrig. The funny thing. Not funny. I shouldn't say it's funny, but most people know Gehrig's disease. Don't even realize, you know. I don't think that's more famous than Tommy John, but. You know, Tommy John surgery.
Well, Tommy John.
Anyway.
At least Tommy John's, you're still playing
from,
the game.
Yeah,
if
Tommy
John didn't
die
from playing.
His arm just hurt.
Yo! Great point, gentlemen. We'd like to give a nice big War Room salute to all these gentlemen on their birthdays. I'm pretty sure Casey Mack will give us some more birthdays because he always does. Hey, by the way, Casey Mack says that not only the best German player, but he's the best European player of all time. But you are a Dallas Mavericks fan saying that, so what do you guys think about that real fast?
He ain't better than Oscar Drazen.
Oscar Schmidt? Yo, I'm taking Drazen. I'll take Drazen. Yo.
Yeah, he ain't see Drazen. He's a young dude. He ain't see Drazen.
Drazen.
Casey Mack not a young dude? You thinking of the wrong person.
Casey
Mack not a young dude.
Got a young mind.
Skyview Kevin says Detlef Schrempf was also German. Detlef ain't messing with Dirk. But in terms of European, that's
was
interesting.
Nice.
He ain't messing with
Dirk.
Nice.
That's
with Dirk.
Homie. But
say,
it ain't
I
no way in heck that you mention Detlef Schrempf in the same sentence as Dirk Nowitzki.
I mean, you could mention him in the same sentence, but I would take Dirk. But I still take Drazen over both of them.
Yeah, you can mention them in the same sentence if that sentence is Dirk Nowitzki and Detlef Schrempf are German.
Yo, people don't realize how nasty Drazen was. Yo, they don't realize how nasty Drazen really was. Yo, Drazen was Michael Jordan with body odor. Like, he was that nice.
Yo,
like,
Drazen used to give Mike that work.
He was going too soon, man. He was like Biggie. You know what I mean? Like, after two albums, Biggie's still one of the nicest to ever do it.
Casey Mack said he ain't trying to hear that. Dirk is the best, period. He don't care about Drazen. Nobody else. Shout out to Casey Mack.
Shout out, Casey. I'm with you, man. I got Dirk.
You got Drazen Dirk? I'm taking Drazen, yo. We're going to put that on our page. We're going to make a versus Dirk versus Drazen.
Me and Jimmy agree.
People
are
like,
this is
a real
question?
Well, you know, half the people on that page never even heard
of
it.
Is this a real question?
They're going to ask if it's a real question, so.
Yeah, we know.
They're
going to
just disrespect
Drazen.
That's Drazen.
Cool,
because YouTube, be cool.
Quite fortunately, there's enough footage of Drazen giving out that work and that unemployment line certificate. Yeah. We can post to YouTube to support it. Drazen with that ball.
All right. Well, let me let everybody know what's up before we get in some hot topics. Check out the website, warroomsports.com, while you're there. Sign up for the War Report. That's the weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about the company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, just email us, info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab so you can buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab to read our latest articles. Click the respective icons to like our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the iTunes podcast to watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. And to listen to the network that we always tell you about at wrspn.com. And to download our free War Room Sports mobile app to get everything I just mentioned on the go. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show, blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio if you don't already have one. But if you don't want one, just sign into your Facebook and Twitter accounts, and then you can click follow once you get in there so you can get updates and reminders about the show every week. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to rap to the brothers. All right, let's get into some of these hot topics. And, Jimmy, hot topics are brought to the good people by.
Listen, man, everyone knows, in terms of our sponsors, I love them all. Mm-hmm. But
everyone
hot topics
when
are
it comes to
hot topics are brought to you by Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks, kick back, and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done. Right now, I'm finishing up this Sugar Ray Leonard. It seems to be taking a little bit long because I'm not going to lie to anyone out there. it's difficult to listen to because Sugar Ray is trying to read his own book. And no boxer should ever do that. Let's just put it that way. other books I'm reading right now, The Divergent. I'm reading the biography of Fred Hampton. So stay away from me for the next couple months while I read that book, because I'm liable to hurt somebody. Anyway, you can get any of those books for free, as well as a lot of other bestsellers, a lot of sports books at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. It's a free trial, but you get a free book on us. That's right, we're giving you the hookup. What's good, Dad?
That's what we do. All right, we just wanted to give a quick shout-out to the NHL champion, Stanley Cup-winning Los Angeles Kings. They defeated the Rangers in 5. So shout-out to those guys. I saw photos of – we always talk about how L.A. is, you know, kind of a fair weather town as far as sports go, but it's just not a hockey town. You know, even though they've been blessed with success over the past 4 years to have 2 Stanley Cups. Did you guys see the photo of the parade? Like, it was like 6 people in the streets waving at the
I've seen more people at McDonald's at Broad and Diamond than that showed up at their parade, a championship parade. And here's the thing, man. When you talk about towns that have, like, you know, what's considered good weather, like the sports, first off, it's a lot of people who are, like, transient. So it's, no, a lot of people just don't care.
They're not even from there. Yeah.
They're not even from there. They don't care. It's the same thing with Florida. Like, when I watch the Heat win, it's like, you know, most of the Heat fans don't even live in Miami because people who live there don't even care about sports. And it's like when you come to cities, a lot of northeastern cities or cities who are in flyover states, like, we love our sports and we're so passionate about it that it's, like, shocking to us that people don't care as much as we do.
Yeah.
I don't watch hockey at all. But if the Flyers would have won the chip, I would have been down there with all the Beckys pulling their tops off. I'd have been acting a fool just like everybody. You know what I'm saying? And I don't even watch hockey. But I'm from Philly, so I'd have been there. Like, but no one cares now. Like, there's too many other things to do. The weather's nice. You can go to the beach. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what
that's
it is.
A good point. And even though it is a transient town, they still, like, the people who move there end up being a fan of their of the sports teams, but not diehard, but they're a fan of the sports team just because
only
that's
the
place to be seen. That's the place you want to be seen somewhere on the first level of a Laker game when the cameras start panning the crowd.
Not a Kings game,
and, you know, maybe even
the
Dodgers.
The Lakers game.
But I'm about to say, but it's just the hockey factor. Like, the hockey is still the sport. The major sport in America that's just dominated by diehard hockey fans. You don't get that many casual fans,
well,
so hockey is just not sexy. Nobody, plus you can't, you know, really be seen behind the glass.
Well,
so
here's
why you gonna
thing,
go to that
man.
Game? You're not gonna get on TV. So.
Here's one thing, right? Here's one thing. You know, from all my long research and studies, first of all, hockey is not an American sport. It's a Canadian sport. That's one. For two, the NHL kind of did this to themselves. Before all of those crazy lockouts they had, hockey was more popular. Hockey has become a fringe sport. It's like, you know, liking the UFC. I don't even want to compare it to that because the UFC at this point is bigger than hockey. But hockey has become like a fringe sport. Like you said, only hockey fans really, really get into it. But even in most major cities, no one really cares about – I mean, a couple years ago, they had a TV contract with the Outdoor like Life Channel or something crazy like that. It's to the point where – and they kind of did this
they
to
were
themselves.
Showing hockey games on Lifetime.
Yo, it's like they kind of did this themselves.
No,
before,
I mean,
before
like,
all
even
those lockouts, it was a more popular sport. People was like, when they realized, like, damn, I don't need to care about this. I just don't. It's not our sport. We care about our. It's sort of like the way we feel about football. Then you go like globally, and no one cares about it, like American football.
Yeah,
that is.
I am, you know, because I love playoff hockey. So, you know, I follow the Flyers all year, but I'm not going to sit here and act like I watch all the games when the playoffs start. I watch all the games because it's just a different level of intensity. But like you just said, with the network and how they're operating these days, like playoff hockey, you have to look for it. Like you have to surf the dial. Like, yo, I have no clue what channel this is. You turn to the big channels, ESPN, you turn to this, you turn to that, and hockey just isn't on. You turn to the hockey network. They got a network like all the other sports, and hockey's not on. So you got to find it
to
be like
own
on
product.
CNBC and like
yo,
channels like that.
The NHL channel is showing Real Housewives of Atlanta, yo. Like, they don't even, like, show their own product on their channel. Like, it's sad to say, man, but that's where hockey has been. I agree, Dev, that in the playoffs it gets
that's
real
why,
tense.
That's why the salaries now, like, they'll give you a $100 million player, but he's signed for 100 years, a million a year.
They
don't have
a record. Yeah, they contracts
because
dude
that's
mad
because,
long.
That's because they're trying to sustain the league. Like, if we give this dude a 20-year contract, then at least we know we might be around in 20 years because this famous player is even though he's going to be 60 years old. But
look, dude's contract do be like $60 million for 22 years.
We'll be having a Magic Johnson contract. $1 million
a
year.
Yo,
for
they got
years.
This contract Magic signed in the '80s, though. Like, it's sad, man, because you know it used to be a beautiful sport. I mean, I never was a big fan of it because you know, grown men ice skating just never appealed to me. But you know, it is what it is.
Figure skating. This
is true.
All right, but we all know that the biggest sporting event in the world going on right now is
Craig.
The World Cup. And like I was telling you guys earlier, like I look at these games, I look at the atmosphere in and around the games and kind of wish that I would have taken that trip, you know, to do this. But, you know, I was trying
to save
those coins for the Olympics down there in 2 years. But
man,
this might have, I mean, because, you know, I've had the Olympic experience. I'm just looking from the outside in. This looks like it's a much better time. But I am a little leery of the fact that, you know, all of these teams are coming from around the world and it's one concentrated sport. It's not like a bunch of sports like the Olympics. And we've seen how hockey fans can get around the world. So, you know, I don't want to go down there because I think the atmosphere is nice and everybody has so much pride and then get caught in some kind of soccer riot. So I'm good. But the games have been pretty good, man.
That was very very mature of you as to your reasoning as to not wanting to be there. I think mine is a little different.
Are we already?
I just can't be in Brazil.
Yeah.
You might not make it back.
We're on that same page, Bjorkson. We're going to do nothing to be in trouble. Come back. Donald Sterling ain't going to mess with us because we're bringing back those. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I'm better off just staying here and watching from afar. You know, it's interesting. I think the atmosphere is actually better than the sport. It's funny. I'm gonna keep it so real right now. Like, yo, I'm not going to sit here and fake, like, yo, I love soccer now. I be trying to, but I don't know, man. Maybe just because I wasn't brought up on it. It doesn't tickle my fancy. Like, I just can't get into it.
Yeah, I'm just interested. Like, I'm trying to learn. Like, I can see people's appeal. I mean, there's some people who just love this game like it's their brother or something. And, you know, I'm not there on the understanding scale yet. But, you know, I can see people's allure to the game of soccer or football, excuse me. But I'm just trying to learn some of the stuff. Like, I have questions for our soccer-loving friends, if anybody want to call in and explain this to me, or if you want to put it in the chat room. But I'm trying to know, like, what's the difference between a yellow card and a red card? I didn't even know there was a red card until, like, 10 minutes ago, because I'm watching the game right now as we speak. You know, I've always known, okay, what a yellow card was. But now that I've seen something else get added to the mix,
red,
like, what's the difference? I'm sure it's more severe than the yellow card.
I'm about to say, I know in the hood, when chicks tell me she got a red card, never mind.
The yellow card is like,
card.
I might be in a couple of days, so we better hurry up.
Yeah, it just went off. Never mind.
Go ahead, Bjorkson. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Go
ahead. A red card is like a flagrant two, and you eject it immediately. Anything that's
right,
an intentional harm or like really dirty, like automatically there's an unspoken word like a kick to the man region, that's automatic red card.
Right.
Like,
so they
if you hit me.
So they say they don't go right for the red card though, right? Because it looked like when I saw it happen, dude flashed the yellow card and then he took out and flashed the red card. And even when they did the graphic on the screen, it came up yellow and then it turned around and it was red. So it's like telling you the levels. There's levels to this.
Yeah,
One more question.
Mm-hmm.
What has to happen for time to be added on to the end of the game? I've seen, you know, a lot of games. Like the game I'm watching right now is already at a plus two. So right now this is going to go 92 minutes instead of 90. The last game went 95 minutes instead of, like, what's that about?
Yeah, shout out.
How you
going to
make overtime before it's even
done? Shout out to YG if y'all want to call in.
Help us out.
Kamal, I ain't going to front. Like when the
Marie,
time,
who just wrote
a nice blog about the Ghana USA
game.
Instead of doing a timeout, like they'll keep the clock running, but they'll add it to the end of the
and
game.
And you'll get that
there's
extra.
There's more situations where you get bonus time other than that. It's not just that. And I don't know those other situations.
All right, well,
if nobody
calls in to answer those questions while we're on the air, then, you know, we'll just – ask, you know, we got some soccer contacts. We'll just ask the dudes. I was about to say we'll post it. We ain't got to do that. We'll just ask the dudes. But maybe we'll post it because maybe other people want to know as well. So maybe we'll just put it
on
social media.
@KCMac38 on Twitter says injuries add time.
Is that the only thing, though? Because, yeah, Austin's right, though. I've noticed that the clock never stops. Like, a dude could be, like, hemorrhaging blood, and the clock's still running. Like, we can't get an ambulance timeout or something like that.
Put him in a body bag.
And for you guys who might call in or might answer us in some other fashion, social media, is there a maximum to how much time they can add to the end of a game? Because I don't know if I've seen too many over five, if I've seen any. So that's all. You know, the U.S., some of the notable things from our side, of course, Chile eliminated the defending champ, Spain. Spain has already lost two games, so they're packing up and taking it back to España. And I don't know if they were the first ever or the first in a long time to defending champs to lose their first two matches in the next World Cup.
Ought to be ashamed of themselves. Like, they really should be. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Well, that they weren't supposed to go out like that just because they won 4 years
ago?
Yeah,
they definitely. They're
you should be ashamed of yourself.
That's for you,
Espana. Yeah, Espana, you get a joke.
Yo, off subject, is there an Asian dude in UFC, or is this Bruce Lee on this video game commercial?
No, it's an Asian guy.
I swear to God, he looked like Bruce Lee. I thought they were just trying to do something, you know.
Now, I've never seen a commercial, but there's a guy named Kung Lee who is Asian. There's a couple, a lot of Asian guys. But
wait till you see this ad. For the UFC game. This dude looked like Bruce Lee.
There's a lot of Asians, Kung Lee in particular,
so now I feel,
who does resemble Bruce Lee.
Jimmy, so now I feel like a racist. Sorry.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you saying they all look alike?
They both look like Bruce Lee, man. Come on. All right, man. So,
the
U.S. beat Ghana. Huh?
Nothing. Go ahead, though.
The U.S. beat Ghana. Who they got? Germany. Who they have coming up on Sunday?
I have no. Yo, B. Austin got to answer this one. I told you, like, I know nothing.
Right.
I'm watching B. Austin.
Maybe somebody's calling in to answer that question. I don't know. They got
some need help.
But
we definitely
shout out to
Vare,
Bampo Otto for writing his upon further review on the U.S. versus Ghana match. I know, you know, he has some conflicts of interest. Not really a conflict, you know. I think his family's from Ghana. You know, he lives in the U.S. He roots for them both. But, you know, I'm pretty sure he was rooting for Ghana in that particular match. So, you know, shout out to him for writing a very objective article on the matter. So let's move on a little bit because I think everybody know that we don't know what the hell we're talking about right now. We had some notable deaths this week, man. Tony Gwynn, Hall of Fame, San Diego Padre, died. And Chuck Knoll, Hall of Fame, four-time Super Bowl winning coach from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He died at the age of 82. Tony Gwynn's death was a little bit different. He died of cancer, and he attributed to all the tobacco that he chewed during his playing days. Tony Gwynn was a beast, man.
He's
definitely the best hitter I've ever seen in my life. You know, I wasn't around for the Ted Williams days or anything like that. But Tony Gwynn is definitely a beast. Y'all got any thoughts on Tony Gwynn and Chuck Knoll?
I thought I was going to be the one to say that in reference to Tony Gwynn, but I agree completely. The greatest hitter I've ever seen. I've never seen a hitter better than Tony Gwynn. That's all I got to say. I mean, it's just that simple.
Yeah.
Yo.
Hold on. 1 second. I'm having some technical difficulties here.
I was saying, B. Austin, is there anything you want to say about these gentlemen?
Rest in power. I mean, Chuck Knoll to me is super underrated because he's got so many Super Bowls, and yet when we talk about greatest coaches ever, it's like he never gets mentioned. And I always kind of wonder about that because Chuck Knoll had arguably the greatest defense. He coached the greatest defense ever. And how many Super Bowls do you have? Four?
Four.
Four, mm-hmm. Or is it three? He has four. And he doesn't get mentioned with the greatest of all time. So shout out to him, rest in power. And then, you know, Tony Gwynn, you guys, I just echo your sentiment. Excellent hitter.
Well, I have some facts about Tony Gwynn because he's one of those players where a lot of his accomplishments are, like, unbelievable. All right, for his career batting average to slip below 300, he would have needed to add 1,183 hitless at-bats. Like, come on. Under 300? There's a lot of dudes that are superstars now who don't hit 300.
Under 300.
He would have had to get almost 2,000 hitless at-bats for his average to slip below 300. Of the 12 top batting seasons since the expansion era in 1961, Tony Gwynn owns four of them. He hit 95, he hit 368, 370 in 1987, 372 in 1997, and 394 in 1994. He probably would have ended up hitting 400 that year, but that was a year that was shortened by the strike.
He's also just an overall great player. He stole 56 bases in a season.
Yeah, he was a good base runner.
Leroy put a statistic in our chat room, right, that I didn't even know this one. He batted over 450 against Maddox, 415 against Smoltz, 390 against Kurt Schilling, 330 against Glavine, and 300 against Pedro. At 366 at-bats against those five players, he only struck out five times. That is ridiculous.
Come on, man. You're a Hall of Fame pitchers, man.
No, listen to this, though. He had 19 consecutive years of batting over 300. His stuff is just downright, it's to the point where it's so great that it's funny. I don't even know what to say, man.
I'm gonna keep it all the way funky and a million, because these two brothers are far more into baseball than I am. So I'm like a little kid when it comes to baseball. Like, what I come to the park to see is hits. And Tony Gwynn was one of those dudes where, you know, some of the things that other people in baseball are impressed about, especially on the defensive end, it's boring to me. When Tony Gwynn got to the plate, I knew I was going to get a hit, and that's what I wanted to see. I was going to see someone hit the ball. So that's what I appreciated him for.
Yo, in the words of the legendary Sonny Hill, man, the legendary Sonny Hill said, humans can't do that, man. So
no human can do that.
Yo, I got a couple more before we move on, man. Remember I told you about the strike shortened season 94? Jeff Bagwell hit 368. That season. You just assume somebody who hits 368 is going to win the batting title. But he didn't, of course, because Tony Gwynn hit nearly 30 points better at 394. He had nine five-hit games in his career. Only person who's had more than that is Pete Rose with 10. In 2,440 career games, Tony Gwynn only had 34 multi-strikeout games. 34 out of 2,440 games.
My man didn't get struck out, and he hit the ball.
They said his odds were better that he would get four hits in a game than striking out twice. This is baseball, man. Damn. Think about that. There's a whole lot more. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of articles going around like this. I'm going to post a few on our social media because we don't really have time to read them all
Where is he on the GOAT list, the greatest of all time list? Like, he's got to be pretty far up there, up the food chain.
I don't know because that's not what chicks dig in baseball. They don't dig hits. They dig the long ball.
Dennis Rodman is the greatest rebounder. Is he top 10?
Rebounds and hitting the ball is a little different, though.
I'm just saying he was the best at what he did, but there's more to baseball than just that.
All right, well, shout out and rest in peace to Tony Gwynn and Chuck Knoll. Chuck Knoll, like, damn, y'all ain't say nothing about me. But and shout out to Jimmy Rollins, hometown shout out. He is now the Phillies' all-time leader in hits. He passed Mike Schmidt recently. The crazy thing about that is, now that Jimmy's done that, now we kind of know why he was trying to enforce his no-trade clause so much. He was trying to be the Phillies' all-time leading hitter because he was so close. Because now he's loosened on that stance. So, you know, you may see Jimmy Rollins end up in another uniform via trade because I'm hearing that he's kind of loosening up on that no-trade kicker. Last thing in Hot Topics, man, the U.S. Patent Office has canceled the trademark for the Redskins. This was a pretty big deal when the news came down, but the Redskins, of course, have appealed this ruling, and while they're under the appeals process, they still have exclusive rights to the trademarks and things like that. Do you think that this step, you know, if they do lose this appeal, do you think this is that great of a step towards them changing the name, or is it not as serious as people have made it out to be? What do y'all think on that, real quick?
Go ahead, B-Austin.
Anybody?
All right, well, if B-Austin don't want to speak, I just think that the Redskins were handed an opportunity to do the right thing, and they seem to still want to fight it. Like, yo, y'all got to chill. Yo, Redskins, you got to decide. You were giving an opportunity. This could have been an opportunity for you to say, you know what, we're going to do the right thing. You know, I mean, the Orange Men, the Red Men, I mean, they've all changed their names. I mean, in the logo, it's offensive. Let's just be honest. It is offensive. I don't even understand what the point, like, what you want to hold on to the history? The history is not going to go if you change the name. I don't understand the big deal. And this is, I mean, not to put this on a player.
I think it's
again,
a bit of both.
What'd you say?
I said I think it's a bit of both. I think that it's not as big as some people are making it out to be. But if you look in the grand scheme of things at the steps that have been taken or lack thereof, it's symbolically it becomes a major step, because I think now it sends a subliminal message. I mean, it sends a clear-cut message, but it also sends a subliminal message that there is a certain level of protection that was afforded the Redskins, the Washington professional football team, that is no longer there, and it may become kind of like open season. So Daniel Snyder didn't pay that vig that he owes to the devil or something, so now it's open season, I believe.
I mean, but
go ahead, Dan.
I still don't look at it as a full move that would force them to change the name. I mean, it definitely hurts them in the pockets, because now you're making, you're making their trademarks a non-exclusive thing. So we can just get our bootleg on, but it's not going to stop, you know, the name. It's not going to stop Redskins from going around. It's actually going to put more Redskins merchandise out on the street. The bootleggers are just going to handle their business, and they're just trying to see if enough of this will go down to where they can force Daniel Snyder into submission because of the money he would lose as far as merchandising. But, you know, being in the D.C. area, you know, I've heard their trademark attorney speak. I've heard representatives from their organization speak, and they really don't sound, I don't know if this is just what they're doing for the public, but they really don't sound worried, because as much as everybody thought this was some big landmark thing happening, this has happened twice before, and the Redskins have won it twice before, won the appeals twice before, and a lot of the reasons that they cite is the fact that they have inconsistent rulings on this. Like, so this may be something that the Redskins might, you know, the organization might end up winning again. But
yeah, they could win it again.
All
but
in all, I'm like Jimmy with this. Like, yo, just do the right thing. I witnessed a conversation on Facebook yesterday that I did not get into because I just didn't have the time for ignorance. But I witnessed one of the most ignorant conversations, and you know, about this situation in my life. And I just can't understand, especially to sit here and see, you know, most of the people having this conversation be black people. Like, we don't understand, you know, oppression and discrimination and stuff like that. Like, I just don't get it. It's a team name.
And
go ahead, Jim.
Here's the thing. Like, all I want to say is, in order to affect change in this country, it always comes down to one thing. We don't do the right thing because we are forced to. We don't do the right thing because morally it's the right thing to do. We do the right thing because our money is affected. If people really want the Redskins to change their name, stop buying things with the logo on it. Stop buying Redskins gear. Let every
but
fan show
people,
up with black T-shirts on.
Those aren't the people who
want to
affect change, though. Those aren't the people who want to
affect change. The Redskins fans are like, there's certain fan bases that are just, like, beyond belief bought into the way of life of that team. Like, yo, I think it's some Redskins fans, yo, that will, like, smack their mother before they see something bad about their team. And they're to the point they're defending this because the Redskins are their team, but it has nothing to do with what's right. I mean, it's ridiculous, but if we really want to affect change.
Somebody had writing on their truck yesterday. I couldn't take a photo of it because I was actually driving. But they had this big truck. It was like a box truck, and it was painted in Redskins colors, and it said, one, God and family, two, Redskins, and I couldn't make out what the third thing said, but they, you know, they were basically listing their priority list on their truck, and the Redskins,
but
then,
and
by
it's
the
ridiculous,
color of the truck.
Man, like,
yeah.
Some people, man,
yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous, man. But this is how you affect change. You start going at Daniel Snyder's for monetary reasons, and he won't care nothing about that team history because it's all about
yeah.
the Benjamin, baby. It always comes down to that. Any sort of change you want to make, start hitting them in their pockets. That's where the change happens, man.
It's even further. It's not even just the pockets. I think the pockets represent a measure of comfort. Whenever people are comfortable, this is a society of complacency. Like, we look at things, and in our heart of hearts, our conscience, we might say, oh, that's messed up, or oh, that's wrong. But if it doesn't keep us from getting up every day, going to our you know, $70,000, $80,000 a year job, and living our miserable lives, shout out to Raymond James, like, people don't really care about doing the right thing because of comfort. Now, to your point, we, you know, the members of War Room Sports, one of us resides in Dallas, two of us are in Philadelphia, two of us are here in the Washington, D.C. area, which is, you know, known as a hub of affluent African-American people. So it is always, and it will always be shocking to me to see black people so vehemently defend the legacy and the history of one of America's sports teams that has a blatant and open racist history. We go back to George Prescott Marshall. Like, before Jack Kent Cook, Marshall is a reputed known racist. Like, he came out and said, like, I don't mess with black people, Indians, any Jews, I don't mess with them, like, and has a long lineage of hate, basically. So that's the history of the team, and that's why it's named, a part of why it's named Redskin. So now these things are open knowledge, and we have black people who, if they can't personally relate to being oppressed, they know the history of this country, and they know what their grandfathers, great-grandfathers, great-great-great-grandfathers went through in this country. How can you, I'm not even saying that you should be totally supportive of the name change, but how is it that you can't relate to an oppressed people being offended by something? How is it you can't relate to that? Like, that's what I don't do. I don't even love.
No, well.
That's crazy.
You know what? You know why? I'm gonna tell you why. I know exactly why. It's because it's how they see themselves. They hate themselves. So how could they feel for someone else when they hate themselves? This is deeper than me. Let me shut up. Anyway, let's go ahead.
Yo, my last point on this is, this is, to me, this is kind of like my theory on the whole NBA and the Donald Sterling thing. Like, everybody's hailing Silver as a hero, but he only did what he had to do. And they've known for years what Donald Sterling really was. I look at this in a similar fashion, and let me let you know what I mean real quick. Daniel Snyder, if you think about the whole situation economically, Daniel Snyder can do nothing but make a windfall of money by changing the name of this team, because merchandising is going to go through the roof because everybody's going to jump on the bandwagon and buy new stuff. I'm like, he can only get richer by changing the name of the team.
Only win.
I think at this point he's being stubborn like this because he's trying to get the fans to love him more. Because we know he doesn't have that great of a history as an owner, even though these fans are still loyal to him for some reason. He charges astronomical prices for everything, game tickets, parking, all kinds of stuff, and these fans stay loyal. I think they had a small bump in their loyalty maybe in the last 2 years, and I think this is his attempt to make the fan base love him more, you know, to praise him for riding for the team and the franchise and the history and all of that. But when they force him to do it, he's going to sit in his mansion and be like, all right, I'm good, because the merchandising money that we're about to make, like, it's going to be crazy. So I think it's one of those where he's just trying to be He's just trying to look like a hero on the outside of things, but he really I can't see him caring as much as he's acting like he's caring. Because he's only going to get paid once the name is changed.
I mean, it is what it is, man. This dude, man, this whole thing is disgusting, man. This is one of those things that eventually is going to happen. They're going to change their name, and we're going to look back from a historical standpoint and wonder, like, yo, they really called themselves the Redskins in 2000? You know what I mean? Like, we're going to look at this and be like, they really did that? But, you know, this is America,
well.
Man. Yeah,
hey, Jim,
man.
I know we got Savide from Tissue and the Tape podcast on the holding on the line, and we're about to do this versus, and I think he's going to want to be a part of this. So why don't you get into that versus and then let the brother on the
you
line
already know.
So we can
Yo.
So we can slander his spur.
No doubt. Yo, also, shout out to my little cousin Jeffrey Thomas, who just let me know he's listening in. He wants to hear what we're going to say about his favorite player, Raymond James, and we'll get to that in a minute. But Versus is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry, your Palm phone. If you happen to have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, immediately go to the roof of your house and jump off. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website, which is warroomsports.com. You know, just enter the promo code The War Room, because this will enter you into a contest where you can win millions of money. At any rate, let's move on to this Versus segment. For those who have never listened to Versus in the War Room, we take two things. It can be athletes, it can be food, it can be TV shows, it can be scantily clad young women, and we compare them and see who we believe to be the best. This happens to be based upon this, you know, this last NBA Finals. We have some comparisons we want to make. Anyway, Jim, are you ready?
Let's go. Let's bring Savide on.
All right.
I'm ready.
I got it.
All right.
What's up, brother? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
We got Savide on.
We can hear you.
Savide is one
Tissue
of the hosts
in the tape
of Tissue
in
the Tape, the hip-hop podcast, which you can find on War Room Sports Network, which is WRSPN.com. He's a connoisseur of fine hip-hop, and he happens to be one of only two Spurs fans I actually know. I know two people who are real Spurs fans.
Real
not
Spurs
these people
fans.
Who jumped. Not these people who jumped
real
on the Spurs bandwagon because they hate LeBron. I'm talking about real Spurs fans. So congratulations, good brother.
Thank you very
much. Hold on. I got to test the thoroughness of this Spurs. So are you telling me that you're a Vinny Del Negro, Carl Herrera fan?
Antoine Carr. We can go Terry Cummings. You know, we can go. Sweet Pea Daniels.
You know, but y'all know what? You know the difference, like with Heat fans, and you ask them questions like this. I'm like, you know, at the very least, why can't a Heat fan just go Google some old roster so they can look like them?
Like, they get offended.
They just
ask,
don't mind looking ignorant.
They don't care. They don't care about Sherman Douglas, Coles, or Ike Austin.
Like Smokey said, Google is here for me and you.
Yeah, man.
Full disclosure, this is my first season as a season ticket holder. I made it to 52 games this year, including the playoffs.
Okay.
I
live in San Antonio.
I live in Austin. We make the hour and 15 ride. Yeah, we make the hour and 15 ride. And,
to us, that's all the same thing, good brother. And by the way,
no, 52 games, hour and 15, that's dedication. That's dedication.
Yeah, it definitely
yes,
is.
Sir.
It definitely is.
Like,
and
I used to be a season ticket holder living in Washington, D.C., so I used to make that two-hour trek up to every game, so I know what you mean.
Season ticket holder, too. So, before I move here, but the verses. I know you guys. I'm listening to you. I'm loving it. I'm ready to get into it. So let's get into this,
good brother. And by the way, real quick, to all you Miami Heat fans, like I always tell you, if you weren't there to try to donate your kidney to Alonzo Mourning, you're not a real Heat fan. Anyway, with that being said, here's a versus that has come up, and we've heard this consistently on all of our social media sites, people on our Facebook page and Twitter. Your guy, Kawhi Leonard, has become a star based upon his finals. The new comparison now is Kawhi Leonard versus Paul George. Both guys had sort of a coming out party, one this year, one last year. It's funny how they both came against LeBron James, and that's probably the reason why it's become a big deal, because it is LeBron. So with that being said, I'm going to
talk to the – So what, you at the Spurs parade, man? You're the after
party? Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was there yesterday. Yes, sir.
Okay. No, I'm talking about right now.
Oh, no. It may sound like that in this grocery store.
Y'all still partying. All right,
well,
go ahead, Jim. I didn't even finish
getting it out, but I'm already getting messages online. Kawhi is a product of the system. But anyway, gentlemen, I'm going to put this out to you guys in the roundtable here. Kawhi Leonard versus Paul George. Who's the better player right now?
Savage, let Savage go first. Let him speak on his young buck.
Okay. So I look at it like this. The, you know, 2011 draft, you know, Spurs haven't had a draft, haven't had a lottery pick since Tim Duncan. He's the only lottery pick that we've had in 17 years. So in terms of bringing the team, exactly. Like, you just say that aloud and you just look at that. That's crazy. But you just the management, you got to give them props for looking at the team and saying, okay, we need an athletic wing. We got these three pieces here. What can we do? They looked at the draft, and I think they looked at a player like Paul George in the previous draft in 2010, and they said that's a guy that we can bring in, or, you know, a prototype like him. We bring in him into our system. He's exactly what we need, some athleticism on the wing. As far as him being better, I think moving forward, it's a discussion. As of right now, Paul George has earned the respect as a two-time All-Star, All-Defensive Team, player. To give him that right now, I will say moving forward, it is something to look at. As far as who would I want on my team, most people would say, oh, give me Paul George. But you look at his game, he has a lot more off the bounce. So he can get you 20. He can get you 24. He probably could get you 28 if he really wanted to, if Indiana's offense wasn't terrible. But I'm just saying moving forward, that's something to look at. As of right now, where we stand today, who would I rather have? I would rather have Kawhi moving forward at 22, Paul George being 24. And then him, you know, he don't know how to bribe strippers when he sees them up. Like, come on, man. Like, you really trust this guy? Like, he tried to lowball the stripper with you know, like, you got to be smarter than that. Like, Kawhi is there to come in, play basketball, go home. He might get his hair braided by his mom that night. He might not. But you know one thing, he's coming in there to hoop, and he's going home. He's not going to party. He's not trying to follow some chick on Instagram and speed her up. You know, none of that. Like, and you have to kind of, in terms of what the Spurs say.
Think about this one thing right here, though. We didn't hear any of that stuff from Paul George until the hype machine came after the Eastern Conference Finals last year and dubbed him a superstar, which I didn't think he was when they started calling him one. So hopefully, you know, because of the Spurs way and the way, you know, they handle their business in San Antonio, I hope that this MVP and all this newfound attention doesn't go to Kawhi's braids. And
I mean, you've seen this guy. Come on now.
I know, but hey, success has done things to people.
If I had to put
a bet on it, I'd bet that Kawhi wouldn't go down that path. You know, but
okay.
You never know.
But I'd bet that PG wouldn't have gone down that path because he didn't seem like that type of dude.
He seems like he wants to be down, though. He wants to be down with LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell by the way he talk about
now,
LeBron that he want to be
now
down.
He does.
Like LeBron's nephew.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So no, Savant, I always, every time when we talk sports, I always think that you're one of the most objective fans.
Definitely, I talk to.
And I, you know, even with what you just said, I think that was a very objective answer. You know, because a lot of people who were, you know, saw Kawhi Leonard get the MVP, they're sitting here like, well, it's not even close. I take Kawhi Leonard, and, you know, I kind of think those people are crazy. I do see what you're saying, like, going forward. But when you say, well, who you would rather have on your team, I think being a Spurs fan for all these years, I think your perspective of what team is totally different than everybody else, every other fan
Absolutely.
In the NBA. You know what I'm saying? So you would like a guy who can fit into a little, you know, role and, you know, still be good in that role. But, like, to me, if I'm just doing individual players, like, right now is no way in my mind that I would take Kawhi Leonard. From what I know about the two guys right now, there's no way I could take Kawhi Leonard over Paul George. And the people that
well,
I keep arguing with keep talking about defense. Like, well, Kawhi Leonard's a hell of a defender, but – and I know this is a subjective award, but I keep telling people, like,
yeah.
you know, Paul George made first-team all-defense, and they play the same position. So,
yeah,
he's
and not
pretty
like that,
good at what
hold
he
on,
does
the late-
as well.
Let me listen, real quick, I just want to say this, though. In terms of who I'd rather take right now, I definitely would be Paul George, although I think Paul George is, like, somewhat soft, wants to be down. I feel like when in the beginning of the game, when he has his beats on, he's listening to music, he's listening to this. So I do think he has a little Drake in him. But in terms of his skill set, I think right now he's the better player. I don't know what Kawhi's ceiling is. Something I've been thinking about, like, what is his ceiling? I don't know, but you have to factor in the system and also the coaching. I mean, he's being coached up. These guys are, like, definitely afraid of their coach, and he's instilling something in these guys that makes them play basketball a certain way. I'm interested to see with them winning the championship the way they do, or more teams around the league buy in. To in my Larry Brown voice, play the game the right way, but this whole Kawhi Leonard, this whole
totally
Kawhi Leonard bandwagon thing
do,
is
man.
Out of control, man. I
don't know what he can do fully because the ball movement of the Spurs, you know, in that kind of a system, it forced him to go out and improve his jump shot. He can do that. If he gets, you know, if they swing the ball over there and they got the defense on their heels and he gets a open look at a three, he's going to nail
mm-hmm.
it. He did it all throughout the NBA Finals.
Now, and here's
but
the thing.
I'm questioning, like, what creatively on his own. Like, he seems kind of slow off the dribble. He doesn't seem like he can handle the ball that well. But then again, we don't see him handle it enough to even make a good
– Exactly.
You know, we can't even – make a determination on that because we don't see
him. Well, here's
the
point. In our chat room, right, in our chat room, Leroy says this. He said Kawhi Leonard would probably be better if asked to do more on another team. He said Popovich has probably been the one holding him back. Now, I'm not going to say you're wrong about that, but that's the thing is we just don't know.
I did see him in San Diego State.
We don't know. You know what I mean? Like
San Diego State, he wasn't like breaking people off the dribble or anything. So he, you know.
Yeah.
Let me just say that, Savad, yo, that I think at the Spurs right now, what God did was God looked at the earth and he looked at the game of basketball and the current trends and where things are headed, and he said, "Let me drop some righteousness into the NBA real quick." Just to show, like, the way that they play and what they did is you can dig Dr. Naismith and Dr. Wooten up, and they would be proud. Like, a tear would roll down. It's not a whole bunch of isolation ball. It's not a whole bunch of wing. Like, they move the rock to a point that everybody can get their 10 to 15 points a game, and they've got enough talent to where you've got 9 guys that on any given night can give you a strong 15 to 18. With that being
Absolutely.
Said, this isn't that close to me. Like, it's not even close. I know that PG and Kawhi play the same position as part of it, but when I look at Leonard, I think of him more as a true forward, a true 3-4 guy who happens to have great athleticism and hops and a good set shot. He can't create his own anything. He's not a creator. He's not doing anything off the dribble or off the bounce. But he doesn't have to in a system where the ball moves around so much that he's going to get shots based on the mistakes that the defense makes and him having an open look. Or the fact that Pop actually runs plays for him. Pop does run a couple sets for him.
Not according
so,
to Pop. Pop said he ain't run not one set for him. But basically what you're saying is he's Udonis Haslam if he played on the Spurs.
Udonis. I ain't going. He's better. Way better than
right,
that.
I got one more
point about Paul George too, though. And all the things that you said, it that's what I'm talking about. As far as on the court, like I said, off the bounce, Paul George has the ability to be a high volume shooter, not have a conscience, get out there, get his buckets off the bounce. I agree. My whole gripe with him was he wants to be down. That's one. And then the whole, oh man, we gotta have home court advantage. We gotta have home court advantage. We they can't beat us on our floor for a game seven. Oh, you know And then talking about the refs, the game that they got totally macerated by the Heat. Talking about the refs were the reason why they lost when they just got destroyed. So and just something there. I would rather have my guy be quiet, go in there, do his work, go home. And I think
amen.
But I get that.
Amen.
I get that. But you also have to take into account that Kawhi Leonard is like a fourth option on a team with championship-winning veterans. He doesn't have a choice but to be quiet. You know what I mean? Paul George, at 23, 24, is asked to be the leader of this team. So, you know, the leaders are going to get into some controversial stuff. I agree with y'all about, you know, some of the stuff he says is soft and they run their mouth too much in Indiana. But, you know, taking that into account, even on the court you have to take that into account because he's getting attention from opposing defenses like a number one all-star player, while Kawhi Leonard, he still can kind of chill under that Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili shield. My thing is this, because I agree with Savai saying what Kawhi could be. I just think a lot of people are jumping out there too quick. Give this man a chance to even build on his success from the NBA Finals and go out there and prove that he can be, you know, more than a third or fourth option on the team.
That's my problem, Dad. It's like we no longer look at body of work when we judge sports anymore.
We just crown.
I see this so much. We are ready to crown somebody after one performance. We talked about it on Court Vision, the award-winning show on WarrenSportsTV.com about how you have players like, you know, Larry Brown, who played in the Super Bowl, had an amazing Super Bowl, got a big contract. It's like body of work doesn't matter. It's about, and the thing is, now this was the biggest stage, right? It's the NBA Finals. So it's the best time to, you know, have a coming out party, so to speak. But this whole mentality, this whole, I like to call it the Janet Jackson mentality, man. It's like, yo, y'all gotta chill. Y'all definitely got to chill with this Janet Jackson mentality, man, and let people build a body of work before we start to judge them, man. Stop trying to crown people. Because, first of all, Dev made the best point of this the other day when he said, yo, he didn't even have a great finals. He had a great three games because in the first two games, people were like, yo, where's Kawhi? You know what I mean? Like, so
he was on the bench.
He had a great three games, and he went from being three games to being compared amongst the elite players at his position in the entire league. Like, and I'm not saying he can't be that. We don't know, Kanye voice. But let it happen. That's all I want to say.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to JT
from
Ranked Top Sports in Chicago. I argued with him all day yesterday, and he kept making the point that I would rather have the NBA Finals MVP over, you know,
that award.
Yeah, that's on a team where you could have given it to four or five dudes. He stood out, no doubt. But that was really a three-game body of work. Like Chauncey Billups, no, I'm not dissing him. I know that's B. Austin, man. But Chauncey Billups
won the
NBA Finals MVP. That was like, no, seriously. If you think about it, that was the same type of a team, though, where four or five dudes on that team could have gotten it, but somebody had to get it because they don't do co-MVPs. In the NBA Finals, so like,
and they wasn't giving it to
don't
a grown
harp
man
on that.
Had,
if you got reasons why Kawhi Leonard is better, then that's my thing. Like when I debate, I'm looking for a good argument. Don't keep hitting me with the cliches and the bull stuff. You know the bull crap. Like you got to come better than that. Respect what you're saying, but because he won the MVP of a five game series, the series didn't go seven.
I think that I think Kawhi definitely has tremendous upside. He kind of, if I when I really think about his game, he kind of reminds me of a more toned down Gerald Wallace. Gerald Wallace with a J. If Gerald Wallace had a real jump shot and he was more relaxed, he'd be Kawhi.
But even on the aggression side, Gerald Wallace is more aggressive because he was supposed to be on the team. See, that's what I'm waiting for with Kawhi. Like, a lot of the things that he did in the NBA Finals, like, he was balling, no doubt, but a lot of that just came off of other people. But to be fair, that's the Spurs system. Like, their ball movement was like no other. And that's what you tell kids at the most basic age when you're a good coach. I mean, you let them know, like, all of that dribbling and all that stuff, like, the ball can fly faster than you can run with it dribbling. So pass the ball around, get the defense tired like they did the Miami Heat for five straight games, and, you know, by the time the end of the shot clock comes, you got a wide-open shot because these dudes are tired of jumping out to the shooters because they keep passing the ball. And that's what happens. So I can't knock Kawhi for playing very well in the system that they set up, but it's just I have more to see from him before I just ascend him up the NBA ladder. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I totally agree with that,
I
man.
I always like the dude. So it's not you, Kawhi, it's them.
Yo, as we can move on from this, is one thing I want to say is that Cedric Maxwell also won a Finals MVP, and most people don't even know who the hell Cedric Maxwell is, but you can name about five or six of the players on the team, such as Larry Bird. Come on, we're going to get into that later. But so the Finals MVP, FOH, they're using that as a measuring stick of how great a player is. Real quick, versus. I just want to get you guys' opinion on this. After this, Savad, I know Savad sounds like he's getting arrested.
Yeah, he's
so
still at the after party down in San Antonio.
We've seen some dominant performances in championship series and games lately. We have the Kings over. And first of all, shout out to Quasi for bringing this question up. He put it on our page, and we want to bring it to the show. Kings over the Rangers was dominant. The Seahawks over my beloved Broncos was dominant. And the Spurs destroyed the Heat. So my question is, another quick versus. Who had the greatest performance in a championship series or game?
Spurs.
At first when I heard this question, I leaned towards the Seahawks because they just dismantled your Broncos. But then you have to look at the circumstances of how, you know, that's a one-and-done situation. So on any given night, somebody can get hot and just blow your doors off like that.
Any given night, you can perform like Mike.
And then when you think about the Kings series, the Rangers were in every single game in that series. As a matter of fact, they had a 2-0 lead in about three of the games, and they blew it. But when you look at what the Spurs did to the Heat, like, this is a two-time defending champion who everybody a week ago was comparing to the three-peat Chicago Bulls because they were looking for a three-peat, and they just got dominated every game except for one. Like, that was just a dismantling, so I would definitely say the Spurs as well.
I mean, you have the largest point differential, and, you know, not to be stat guy, but you're beating the team by almost 15 points. Points a game and your wins. That's pretty.
And that was
substantial.
Their lowest. That was their lowest margin of victory. 15 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yo,
so
I'm not answering this question. I'm not answering this question. I'm going to recuse myself from this. But I do say the one thing that bothers me is we haven't seen a great like championship, something to get us on the edge of our seats like in a long time because everybody's kicking everybody's tail. So B. Austin, you taking this first too, B. Austin?
Yeah, I'm taking the Spurs, and I would say the last time we saw a real nail biter was
Dev saw one. Dev
last
one though.
What? Yeah.
Final four.
Oh,
yeah,
the final four.
Yeah, final four. That's it. And then and the NBA Finals last year, 2013, was pretty exciting.
I think the Finals last year saved itself from itself because, you know, you had a good game one, but the three or four games in the middle were terrible. They were all blowouts as well. They took turns blowing each other out. And then game six and seven got a little, you know, had some – game six had the most drama to it. But I don't think that was a particularly great final just because it went seven. The individual games were
– the worst seven
games. I get up from a game like, damn, why I just watched that?
All right, no doubt. Survive, man.
So,
thanks for calling in and talking about this topic with us, good brother. Survive's also a connoisseur of hip-hop. You can find him on WRSPN.com, the Warburton Sports Podcast Network. He's one of the hosts of Tissue and the Tape. That's our hip-hop podcast on the network. Guys do an amazing job. You know, keep up the good work, brother, man, and we definitely will talk to you online.
Likewise, man. You guys keep it going, man. Peace.
All right.
All right. Congrats
to
them
again,
Spurs, man. Keep the party going down there.
Caliente.
All right, homie. No doubt, man. That was Savad from Tissue and the Tape, man. You know, a lot of quick verses there, man. But Kawhi, man, y'all got to.
And as you can hear in the background, they still partying down in Texas.
They still partying, man. Last thing I want to say about this gentleman.
They having a fiesta. A month-long
fiesta. To all you sports fans out there.
At the Alamo.
You have to cut out this Janet Jackson mentality, man. That's the last thing I want to say, man. Good brother Dev, real quick before we talk about some more NBA news, how can people, you know, just get in touch with us real fast?
Y'all know what y'all can do, man. Y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com to call in and speak with us about any of today's topics, and we are about to speak about the NBA finals and put that to bed. Y'all can call the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk.
Absolutely. And this NBA wrap is brought to you by Fanatics. For the best in your favorite team's merchandise and apparel, shop Fanatics. Shopping Fanatics is easy. Just go to our site at warroomsports.com and click on the Fanatics logo on our main page or our sponsors page and get the latest in NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, NCAA gear and more. Cop up that Washington Redskins gear before the name is changed, and you can do that right at Fanatics at warroomsports.com. Let's talk
now, hold up.
Gentlemen?
Why don't they wait a week? So if the Skins lose this appeal, then y'all can cop y'all Redskins gear from warroomsports.com.
We're going to add to the problem, though.
We're going to be selling racial slurs, but it's all good.
Listen, man, we're going to go right to the factory, tell them to cook up some Redskins gear, and we're going to be selling it and laughing, and listen to this right here.
Get money.
Absolutely. We're going to prosper off the Redskins, man. Let's do it. Listen, let's talk basketball. You know, let's talk about a couple other things to go down in terms of this NBA final. Shout out to Jeffrey, because I know he's getting ready, you know, to be pissed because he is a LeBron James fan. So first question I have is this. How much blame in this entire series actually goes to Raymond? Gentlemen, what do you think?
I think when you're the best player on the team.
Okay, one at a time.
The best player on the planet. When you're the best player on the team, you're the best player on the planet. You know, you always have to be culpable for some of the stuff your team does because, you know, a lot of people, you know, defend LeBron, but And I defend them on certain things because the haters are out of control, and as we always talk about, the lovers are out of control at the same time. But you do have to be culpable because on one hand, you can't have everybody running out there raving because you, quote-unquote, make your teammates better. But then when your teammates aren't, quote-unquote, better, then it's everybody's fault but his. So you can't have it both ways. So, of course, the best player has to have some culpability. And he didn't play – I mean, LeBron James will never lack on the stat sheet. He's just too in the flow of the game. He can do too much to affect the game. So his stats are always going to look good. I mean, we talk about the fact that, you know, it's a universal opinion that he quit back in Game 5 against the Celtics that time, but he still had a triple-double. So, I'm never going to question him on the stat sheet. But if you look at LeBron, you look at his body language, you look at some of the things he was doing, he has to have some culpability in this as well. He did not play any defense at times just like his teammates. I thought his best defense was basically limiting Tony Parker from affecting the game as much as he could. But let's go back to Kawhi Leonard. When LeBron James was on Kawhi Leonard and he was hitting a lot of those open threes, you look at the replay and LeBron James just wasn't getting back out on the shooter. And like I was talking about earlier, the Spurs' ball movement was so good, like by the time you get to the end of the clock, you just can't believe that they passed it again. So I'm not running out there. And they just hitting everything. Patty Mills, wop. Kawhi Leonard, wop. Danny Green. So I know it was frustrating, but that doesn't mean you stop playing defense, especially if you're touting yourself the best defensive player in the league.
I mean, somebody went out and made a YouTube video about Dwayne Wade out there looking like Harden, but that's unfair because they could have made that video about five or six people on the Heat in the NBA Finals, LeBron included. Other than that, that's my only criticism. Other than that, you know, he was basically the only one balling consistently. But I will say one more thing before I let B. Austin go. A lot of the times when LeBron had these spurts and he was playing really well, the games were already decided. So it's like he had a lot of meaningless good play in these series. He didn't really – when he was playing good, it never really affected the outcome of a game. Game one, we'll never know because he had to sit out with the cramps and the heat and all that kind of stuff. And it did look like they may have been on their way to winning that game. But other than that, yeah, he gotta carry some of that weight, man. You're the best player.
B. Austin?
I thought that LeBron played – I thought he played well. I thought that, number one, because his teammates weren't playing as well as they could have, he had to shoulder a lot more of the load. I guess you're the greatest player in the world. No load should be too heavy. But I think that he ran out of gas in certain games. I've always been critical of LeBron being 6'9" and 275, not developing his footwork and his post moves. And I know you're laughing, but there's a reason here. I have the feeling that when a team is dictating the pace and controlling things the way the Spurs were, you have to have something that can affect a change in that pace and can slow that down. And the best way, I think, is to be able to throw it down into the block to the best player in the world, the best athlete in the NBA, and have him make decisions from the low block. I'm not saying LeBron, you know, spend 40% of your offensive touches there, but I think there are points in the game where, with the pace that the Spurs were playing and the defense that the Heat were playing, you could have gotten a pace change by going to the block.
No, I agree with that.
They all were terrible. They were all terrible.
I wasn't laughing at what you said about his post game. I'm laughing at every time you describe LeBron. You like make him taller and heavier. Like he was now it's like 6'9", 280. Every time you describe him, you'd be like, when you're 6'10", 310, you gotta, you know. Anyway, listen, man. In my opinion, man, in the words of D'Angelo Barksdale, man, the king gonna stay the king, man. So with that being said, heavy is the head that wears the crown. If they were to win that series, who would have got all the attention, the adulation? Who would have been compared to the greats? Who's already being compared to the greats? So when you lose, you're the leader of the team. You call yourself King James. That's what comes with it. I mean, you put yourself out there, so, you know, you're going to get the criticism as well as the love when you do win. When they won those last two series. Now, D. Wade has retired already. I don't know if you guys know that. he ran out of noni juice, so he couldn't perform well in the finals. And he retired, and he's due $20 million, so he's about to Steve Nash the game, come back to get that 20 M's, because if he doesn't, he's a clown, you know, he got to put food on his family. So shout to D-Wade for, you know, getting that check.
If that dude do the team-up decision instead of making his own, and they all decide together, and he opts out, he the dumbest dude in the world. Because ain't nobody paying you nowhere near what you're about to make next year.
Listen, man.
Like I told you on Court Vision the other day, man, if I'm Dwayne Wade, my motto on the offseason is op my ass. I ain't opting nothing. And I want to say Casey Mack in the chat room said he disagreed with B. Austin, saying LeBron can't go on the block with Leonard guarding him down low with 2 7-footers backing Leonard. He can't win. I disagree with that because if you go on the block and you get that attention that you're talking about, then you are making the game easier for other players. He can be a very effective passer from down there. Being in the
Here's
block
the
and having footwork is not always about scoring points.
It definitely
if he's going to have Kawhi and 2 7-footers backing him up and bringing out
only
bringing
problem with that
doubles
is
and triples,
he was passing out to Chalmers, who probably played the worst 5 games of his entire existence.
Chalmers,
yo, let me take another shot and just to buttress your point, Dev. If you got Chris Bosh playing the 5, who basically plays the five like a three, who's shooting threes, then that's pulling Tim Duncan, who's one of those seven footers, out of the paint.
Out of the paint.
He's got to play Chris Bosh as a jump shooter. So what are you
Listen,
talking?
Man.
There's no seven footer to rotate over.
You can't just leave him out there because he will knock the shot down.
All I'm saying is
he said, but no, Bosh has to hit a jumper. Like, come on, man. Bosh has the respect. Nobody's just going to leave Chris Bosh wide
Bosh
open.
Bosh has the best jumper
like, can,
on the team.
Y'all can exaggerate
and
this and all y'all want to make, you know, to not make LeBron culpable at all. But there's different things that could have happened. And you can't put all of that on LeBron. You can put a lot of that on Spoelstra. Like,
at some point you have to adjust.
And, you know, you can't always just be LeBron's caddy. LeBron, get your ass in the post. We need some double and triple so we can make some shots easier for these other guys. Like, it can't always be pound the rock until there's 5 seconds left on the clock, make your move, and then pass it, and everybody has to shoot a buzzer beater. So, you know.
Here's my thing, man. Two points. D-Wade has already retired, but like Des said, he's not going to leave that bread up. D-Wade is going to talk to his agent. They're going to ask you, do you want to opt out? And he's going to say, well, what happens if I stay? He's going to show him a number that he's going to get if he stays. He says, what do you want to do? And D-Wade is going to say,
I go by the name of Pharrell.
He's going to say, I'm grinding right here in Miami. Cut me a check. And that's what's going to happen. There's no way he walks away from that money. If he walks away from that money, Dev, I don't respect him as a man. That's all I want to say. I know
like,
it's kind of extreme, but it's the truth.
I'm like, Gabrielle need to be telling him, like, yo, this time, dude, you can't make this decision as a threesome.
Y'all got two,
like,
y'all got two chips.
We making
matter
this decision
fact,
as a twosome. All them other
you
dudes,
got a,
get them out of here.
You got three. And also, I understand that a lot of people, including those in the chat room, like, listen, everybody, the whole team didn't play well. LeBron didn't have any help. But when you are that guy, yo, it still falls on you. Derrick Rose hasn't played basketball.
He had
yo.
Help.
Hold up. All I'm saying is this. Derrick Rose hasn't played a meaningful game of basketball in like 5 years. But when the Bulls get knocked out of the playoffs, yo, no one's even criticizing anyone on their team. He's still taking the blame because he's that guy. When you're that guy, this is what happens. When you're that guy, see, people don't remember this because they have revisionist history. When the Bulls used to lose year in and year out before Michael Jordan and Nike became everyone's favorite object and player, Michael Jordan took all that blame. He took all the shots. When the Pistons were beating on the Bulls, who took the shots? Michael Jordan. When he couldn't get past the Celtics, who took the shots? People forget that Mike didn't just wake up and win six titles. He had to earn it and went through losing a lot. He lost a lot.
Jim, he took the shots because he literally took the shots.
I mean, yeah, that too. That too, a whole different game.
So
but what I'm saying is when you're that guy, this is what comes with it. This is what comes with it. Look, and this is in every sport. Football is the biggest team sport in the world. But when the Broncos lost, who takes the shots? That guy. Peyton does. I mean, this is what it is. I mean, you can try to point blame at everybody else, and the fact of the matter is the whole team played terrible. The best team won the game. The Spurs have been the best team in basketball since – the entire season, as a matter of fact. They're the best record
look,
in the league and home court advantage.
I can't feel sorry for LeBron in this because this is what they signed up for, man. We knew 3 years ago when they took the bulk of the salary cap money and gave it to three dudes, what have we been saying for the past 3 years? Like, they're one big three injury away from not being that good of a team. And it didn't take an injury. I mean, Dwayne Wade is a walking injury, so I'm counting that as the injury. Dwayne Wade, not at 100%. You know what I'm saying? Chris Bosh never really fit in there in the first place. Like, they got him and just changed his whole game up. He's a three-point shooter now because he's frankly in the way of the two slashers that they have on the team. So they definitely was one big three injury away from not being that good. We saw it when Chris Bosh got hurt. Had Chris Bosh not come back for that first championship run, the ring probably wouldn't have happened. So when you structure your team like that, when you give the salary cap to three people and, you know, everybody else is just a little add-on, things are going to happen like this when your best players aren't 100%. They have a lead in game one. LeBron goes out with cramps, and they get their doors blown off in the fourth quarter because they cannot play. Their team is not built for one of those three guys to be hurt. And if Dwayne Wade is out there playing at 60% of what Dwayne Wade used to be, it's going to be harder
on LeBron. It's going to be harder on Chris Bosh. And this is how the team's going to look. So I'm not going to sit here, he have help, and blah, blah, blah. This is what they signed up for, man. They knew, you know.
Yo, man.
Did you not know that this could happen?
Yo, D-Wade, man, like, I just want to say one thing to you, D-Wade. I know it's late in the show, man, but you have to get a nomination, D-Wade. Like,
you should be ashamed of yourself.
D-Wade gets a JoJo Award nomination, man, because, like, yo, first of all, you didn't play that much this entire season. You were resting for this moment, and you looked so bad that I kind of felt bad for you. He was
that
so slow.
That may have backfired on him, though, Jim. That may have backfired.
His pump fakes were terrible. Like, yo, I really believed if you give me about a month to get in shape, I will give D-Wade that work right now. If he plays the way that he played in the finals, yo, he can't stick me, yo. Yo, his pump fakes were so terrible.
Yeah.
He was
and I'm watching
so
players
slow.
Just stand there like, what am I supposed to jump? Like, saying,
yo,
I'm supposed to jump at that?
Yo, he couldn't get by Boris Diaw. He couldn't get by Boris Diaw. Now,
but
you know,
I think the rest
he couldn't
Jimmy
go to the lane
backfired.
And get body contact. He couldn't, like the yeah. old D-Wade went to the lane with reckless abandon and got body contact.
The only way
D-Wade
could score was to pump fake a three and then jump into the man, which shouldn't even be a foul because it's not a natural basketball move, and that's the rule
yo.
That they supposedly implemented, but they don't implement it when he's doing it. But let me tell you why I'm saying that rest may have backfired on him, Jim, because – okay, you did that to keep your legs fresh, but I think by, you know, all of these games, by the time they got to the end of the NBA Finals, the dude just wasn't in the same basketball shape as everybody else on the court because he hadn't played. Like, you can't just sit out in like, the most athletic game in the world and then come back and think you're going to run with these dudes on that level. They've been running for 80 games, 82 games plus playoffs.
Now, granted, the Spurs have a lot of European players and there's a lot of BO on the court, but you got to be able to get to the hole, get body contact, and score. Like, yo, you're D-Wade, for Christ's sakes. This is sad to watch. This is like watching Elijah Wan play for the Raptors or, like, Patrick Ewing play for the Orlando Magic. It's like, yo, it's just sad. Like, it's not supposed to be this way. D-Wade was – and think about it. This was on the biggest stage where he kind of, like, had his coming out party when he, you know, won that first championship.
That
he dominated the Mavericks. Yo, he was that bad, B. Austin. It was sad,
yeah,
yo. He was a shell of himself, honestly.
But to be honest, though, he averaged, like, 15 points. Think about it, though.
Yo.
You know.
Yo, those numbers
finals,
mean nothing.
There's been finals when Pippen averaged 15 points. So this just saying.
I mean, Kawhi Leonard
ain't
MVP. Let me be quiet.
See, this is one of those things, though, where LeBron has to be that Superman that he has the potential to be. Like, I'm not even the one that like to compare him and Mike because I don't think LeBron is Mike, and people need to stop that anyway. But there's a lot of people out there who already thinks he's better than Mike, so you have to speak to those people with this. When things were like that, think about the Phoenix Suns series. Michael Jordan averaged, what, 41 points a game in that series? Probably because he felt, at this point, I have to, because Barkley is dominating dudes. He's taking Pippen's heart. You know, so I don't know. Sometimes
yeah,
you got to step
I just
up
hate the comparison
and
do
for a lot
more. Of reason.
And we ask, like, oh, what more can LeBron do? But there's more he can do.
I hate the comparisons for various reasons. For one, these guys don't even play the same position. For two, the variables that go into playing basketball in their current times, I mean, Jordan in terms of the offense. But even LeBron growing up in the fishbowl and with social media and the people around him, it's an entirely different game and a different things he has to go through. So I don't even like the comparison. But the fact of the matter is, these are the guys of their generation. I'm not making excuses for him. I think that he takes a lot of blame. But at the end of the day, I'm somewhere
social
in the middle.
Social media had anything to do with him not going to the block and getting buckets? I mean,
no,
come
see,
on,
you're not
man.
You're not listening to what I'm saying, man. I'm kicking knowledge right now. What I'm saying is
the like
variables of playing basketball now versus playing them. Michael Jordan has to deal with a certain level of things off the court that he didn't have to deal with. I'm just saying it is what
it is.
That's why you can't compare.
On the court, it was harder. On the court,
I mean, well, that's arguable. All I'm saying is
you were allowed to punch. You were allowed to.
So,
you were allowed
what
to claw.
I don't know how Jimmy meant it, but
Austin, you took it as excuses. I kind of took it as Jimmy. I don't know. You tell me I'm right, but I took it as Jimmy calling the boy a little soft
if social media affects your play.
No.
Then you
got to
be
saying,
a little soft
is,
if social media.
Is,
if the fishbowl affects your play, then you might be a little soft.
The fishbowl does affect his play. I honestly know that. Think about this. In that Maverick series, when it came out that the boy was smashing his mom, who finally denied it seven years later.
I know. Why you going to wait so long to
game,
deny it?
Yeah, when the boy was going through it, not playing well, you didn't say anything. Now you want to say something. But you saw how his game was affected. All I'm saying is to compare players from different generations, there are so many things in play that you have to look at. It's not just as simple as, well, they play basketball, they're on the court, let's compare them. I'm not saying that LeBron is mentally strong. I don't think LeBron is an alpha male. I don't like the comparison at all. Do I think LeBron is a great player? I think LeBron is the best player in the NBA right now. But I wouldn't compare him to Jordan, just like I wouldn't compare Jordan to Wilt. I just don't do it for various reasons. I mean, that's the only point I was proving. I'm not trying to make an excuse for him, how he plays the game, what he did in this finals. But at the end of the day, this whole thing doesn't fall on him. But if you are that guy, you're going to get the criticism. That's just the bottom line. Because Stone Cold said so.
Is this Spurs an all-time team, yo? I've heard a couple
now,
people say that the Spurs is an all-time team.
Here's the thing. I know that
shout out to Andy
said
Flint,
the
Sports Kings.
This is the Spurs are the best pro team in the last 15 years. The one thing I can say is since this finals, talking to people who are coaches and watching professional coaches comment, they're in love with this team because of how they play the game.
Yeah.
Larry Brown voice the right way. Yo, I can name 10 teams that will wipe the floor with this Spurs team. No disrespect to you, the homie and all, but this is not an all-time. Now, see, that depends upon what you mean by that. Is it an all-time great team
Jimmy,
as in how they play team basketball?
I agree with Jimmy.
If you're emphasizing
the word team,
NBA team? But I think they're just saying all-time great, just team. Like, and we're talking like
teamwork, yeah.
You know,
teamwork
a couple of them Celtics
work.
Teams. Took a couple of them Celtics teams in the 80s, Showtime Lakers. The six championship Bulls, I think when people ask the question, they're asking if they're one of those teams. Are we going to say the Spurs of this era is one of those teams?
No.
And Dickie V's point, he has a point about it being the best pro team in the last 15 years because, like some of the stuff Savai was saying, like how consistent do you have to be? They've made the playoffs like every year since Timmy's been there, and they've never had a lottery pick. So that goes into it. People always think that the only thing that you can judge this by is championships, even though they have the championships. They have five championships. However, you know, their last two came like 7 years apart. So the people who are just judging on championships, then they would have to take that into account. But I take everything into account, the fact that they've been in the playoffs every single year. You know what I'm saying? They've never had a lottery pick and, you know, all that kind of stuff. The way they play team ball, you know, just the culture. They go out and scout all over the globe, and they're still successful year after year. So I definitely have to say they're up there, you know what I'm saying? Between the Spurs, the Lakers, I guess you would have to throw the Patriots' name up in there for their consistency. But even the Patriots have missed the playoffs.
Yo, hey, come on. Like, first off, hold, real quick, though. LaRoy McConnell says that Spurs have to be 1999 to 2014 and continue, all-time team in all sports, better than Pats and Lakers. Yo, dope a dog food. Do you realize the Lakers missed the playoffs five times in existence of basketball? Like, come on, cuz. Yo, the Lakers missed
the
playoffs five times.
See, but that's that Janet Jackson mentality we're talking
yo,
about.
Man,
Lakers missed the playoffs
Lord,
this
come
year.
Come on, man.
And now,
come
all
on,
of a sudden,
man. Like, the
they
Lakers
are not
only missed the playoffs
like,
five times in the history of their franchise. You're talking about 99
and
actually, come on, man.
About it, when you go back to the beginning of, and that's why they actually have to go back 15 years because it takes you back to 99. If you go like any other list would probably be and say who's the best pro sports team of this century, of this millennium, starting in the year 2000 or, you know, or whatever. If you look at championships, the Lakers actually have more championships than anybody in that span. Because the Spurs won theirs in 99, so it really doesn't count as the new millennium. So that's why you have to take it back 15 years to have this argument. But you know,
Magic played 12 years in the league and made it to the finals nine times. His Lakers team made it to the finals nine. He played 12 years and was in the finals nine times. Come on, man. Come on, man. Anyway, man, I'm going to chill, man,
He's saying in the Duncan era, not all time.
I mean, what?
But he did say all-time team in all sports. I don't know if they're all-time.
Yeah,
you
said
all-time team in all sports, and now it's the Duncan era. Yo, man.
Because if we did just go, like, head-to-head with certain teams, like, I got, like, Celtics teams beating them, Bulls teams beating them, Lakers teams beating them.
Yo,
I got the 83
Sixers
will
wipe the floor with them,
yo. Smacking the shit out of them.
Come on, man.
I mean, other
yo,
than that,
come on, man.
You might be taking it too far back.
Yo, I got
back.
The Houston.
Like,
I got Hakeem.
They might
Houston,
smack Bill Russell on them
doing
just because
the
Cousy and them couldn't really dribble. But,
yo, man.
But shout out to the Spurs,
say,
man. They
yeah,
are the champions
yeah.
one more time. We got to roll.
This is absolutely, yo, UNLV running Rebels will watch them. Anyway, thanks for joining us again in the war room, good folks. Shout out to everybody
yo.
In the chat room on Facebook, Twitter, and all the calls who chimed in to holler at us. Tune in. Yo, special shout out to Survive from Tissue and the Tape who tuned in. Congratulations to your Spurs. Tune in next week, same time, same place, or catch us on demand, WRSPN.com. Tune in for the 2014 NBA pre-draft show next week. Until then, enjoy the World Cup. You know, in your favorite Major League Baseball team, sports is very dry right now, like a young promiscuous lady. Anyway, as well as your week, we'll see you back here next time. Don't forget Twitter, Facebook, at War Room Sports, warroomsportstv.com for our video content and all of our network shows at wrspn.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
They out there posting high school pics on Facebook, man. Uh-oh.
Jimmy, know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, be often Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323-14-0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secrets, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports. Yeah. You know? Jimmy. Dev. DJ. Doc Bay. The officer. I'm shot. Up and coming on the beat.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.